Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Yes, we love prayer. We believe that this is a house of prayer. So, yes, you're invited to come check out prayer. And guys, this is our chance. If you have not registered or you want to invite a friend, it is time to do so. So, anyways, and then church-wide, we would love your prayers for men's retreat. It's going to be a great, great time. So, anyways, thank you guys for coming. A couple of quick shout-outs. Give it up for Jeff and Kathy celebrating 40 years of marriage. Wow! Wow! And here's a little fun fact I didn't know about. Do you guys know about the golden birthday? I didn't know that. It's if you're like 12 years old and you're turning 12 on the 12th, that's your golden birthday. So, Haley, 24 on tomorrow, on the 24th. That's exciting. And I learned about the golden birthday. So, anyhow, thank you guys for coming. We are in a series of Colossians, and we're going to be hitting Colossians chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me, or your phones. This is a wonderful, wonderful, rich passage. We're going to go through verse 11 today, and we're going to talk about a couple things. So I'm going to give you kind of some ideas and suggestions on what to look for as we walk through this. But Paul gives us some ideas on what our thought life should be. So number one, what should the priority of our thought life be? Jesus. Oh, good, Jesus. That's always a good answer. Thank you, Bill. Let's see if you're right. Number two, what does the Bible say our real life is? What does the Bible say our real life is? And then wrapping up with verse 11, this is a really amazing passage that kind of addresses racism. So let's go ahead and pray, and we will dive into this. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would speak to us. More than anything, we need your word today. So God, I just pray that you would illuminate in our lives the instruction from your scripture, and thank you, God, for just church and community. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so before we launch into this, I have a little disclaimer. Paul is talking to people who are Christians, people who are following Christ at this stage. So the instructions that he's about to lay out are not necessarily for non-believers, because what he lays out, it's very important to distinct that only this is accomplished through the power of God's Spirit. We can only live these types of lives with God's Spirit in mind. So let's start with verse 3. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ. Again, he's saying, hey, for people who have been raised with new life, he says this. He says, set your sights. And he gives us an interesting target to set our sights on. So the New Living Translation says, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits at the place of honor at God's right hand. The New King James Version words it this way, if then you were raised with Christ, again, the importance he's talking to people who have been raised with Christ, he says, if that's the case, if that's you, then you are to seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. So part of seeking the blessing above is recognizing that there is sovereignty in Jesus. He is seated at God's right hand. What does that mean? Well, the right hand is a sign of strength and salvation, and Jesus is sovereign and exercises supreme authority. So if you're like, Sean, I'm a Christian, he's done a work in my life, I've been raised with new life, then you are called to seek the things that are above. Now, here's the tricky part. We live in America, and there's many targets and many things competing for our attention. And honestly, we seek after many things, and I am right in that space with you, because there's lots of things that get my attention. There's lots of things and responsibilities that I have to do. And I set my sights on many things. There's a lot of things that require my attention and my resources, my capacity, relationships. We have to pour into these things in order to keep them healthy. Plus, we need food, right? Think about how much of your day is revolving around food. I mean, grocery store, and then you cook it, and then you store it, and then you have to clean the kitchen, right? All these things just for food and shelter, house, car, transportation, all of these things, they take up a lot of our time. And you'd think by now with the advances in technology that we would have so much more free time. But that's not the case. I have never experienced washing clothes by hand. Has anybody ever done that? Like, one person, Natalie. Oh, you have. I never want to experience that, ever one time. I mean, you just put the clothes in the machine, hit the button. You think that that would save me so much time, but false. That still seems like I'm very, very busy. So how can we find balance? How can we find balance? How can we fix our thoughts on things above? Well, here's the challenge with that. I've never been above. I've never been to heaven. So I don't know what to tangibly fix my thoughts on. Like, we love things that we can taste and touch and feel. So these things are kind of ambiguous. However, the scripture does give us insights on God's character. It says, set your sights above where Christ is. And we know Christ's attributes. And an important distinction here is he's saying, set your sights on the realities above, but there's a lot of things that we should not set our sights on. For example, I'll name a few. Setting your sights on a Christian leader, or a movement, or a Billy Graham, or Pastor Sean. Like, don't set your sights on me. We're just men. We're just people trying to follow God's word. So we will disappoint you if you set our sights on religious leaders, right? Yes. We need to set our sights on Jesus. Yes. Here's another thing it says. It says, let's say, I'll just pick a little bit, right? Are you guys ready? Here's me picking. Things are challenging. You're stressed and strained in your marriage. Don't set your sights on the spouse that you thought you married. Ouch. Set your sights on Jesus. Because when you set your sights on Jesus, he's going to give you the grace and the compassion and the capacity to love your spouse the way that you should. Don't set your sights on the realities of who you thought your kids were going to turn out to or what you thought your job was going to fulfill you. They will disappoint. They will disappoint. Moving on, Jesus tells us some valuable instructions, and I'm sure you're familiar with this passage, but in Matthew, Jesus tells us this. He says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and your body more than clothes? Have you guys all heard of this?
Yeah.
But he says the same thing that Paul's saying. He says, hey, seek first the kingdom of God. Yeah. Well, what's the kingdom? That is a great question. And that would take a very long series to unpack. But set your sights on the kingdom, the realities of things above. He says, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So my point is this. There's no guilt in loving life and doing things and fixing your cars and painting your houses and taking care of your bodies and eating well and managing what God has given you. Yet we have to realize that all of these things will pass away. And they shouldn't be our number one primary focus. We are to think also about our eternal life that's ahead. So continuing in Colossians verse 2, it says, think about things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life, that what really matters is hidden. Isn't that a good picture? We can't see it, but it's hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all of his glory. Have you ever thought about that? Your real life is in heaven. Has that thought ever crossed your mind? See, what you see, what you have, the possessions that you have, or the possessions that you wish you had, that's not real life. All those things will go away. Your fancy new iPhone 15 Platinum C, is that one out yet, or is that one coming? Right here, I know you guys know. Are we on 14 version? Silence? Nobody can help me out? I think 15's coming out. Is that right? Anyways, that will be history. That'll be old news in 10 years. So, what do we do? Here's the question. If you had to choose, if you wanted your real life to consist of all the things on earth, or if you could choose your real life existing in eternity with heaven and God, which would you choose? I think for most of us, it's a really easy answer. I want my life to be in heaven. I want what really counts to be in heaven. I was kind of interesting in just pondering my thoughts today, and I woke up and I realized it was 10 years ago that my wife and I were launching Streams Laveen. There was a church there, and we took it over. We were meeting in a school, and it was in Laveen, so we launched Streams Church Laveen. And I thought, man, that was 10 years ago. So much life has happened. I mean, we were setting up and tearing down, dealing with 110 degrees. Oh, my gosh. And I thought, how many times have we moved there? And I'm embarrassed. We've moved 6 times in 10 years. Praise the Lord. We actually, God worked it all out till we closed on our house, so we actually have a house right close by the church now, and we're excited to buy that. But I thought about how much life has happened in 10 years. Kids raising, challenges in work, challenges physically, surgeries, and all these things. And I'm like, there's a lot that's happened. Oh, my word. I am thankful that that is not real life, that there's more to come. I'm thankful that there is more to come in the life ahead. So, the terrific news is we will share in Christ's glory. That's what it says. It says, your real life is hidden with God. You will share in all his glory. Is there anyone who's worth more glory than Jesus? How is that even fair? How is it possible that as followers of Christ, we will get to share in the glory of Jesus? That is amazing, amazing news. Here's another interesting point in this verse. Here's a little side tangent. You guys ready for this?
Yes.
Is there anybody who travels a lot, like maybe overseas or anything? The Bible says that we are hidden in him, that we are hidden in Christ. Sometimes if I travel, like if it's a little dodgy or a little shady country, like I won't put my valuables in my back pocket. I'll stash them in my front or like a little, so like my passport or my cash, like I want to hide those in a little zipper, little side thing. Have you ever thought that you, like if we were hidden in Christ, like the devil can't pickpocket Jesus. Like you are secure. You are literally hidden in Christ. That is an awesome place to be. That's a really, really cool thought. Okay, continuing on. Verse 5. It says, so put to death, and he's going to name all these sins. He says, put to death, say death, the sinful earthly desires lurking in you have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of the world. But now, is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. So I'm going to address some cop-outs. You guys ready? Everybody's so quiet. I'm just digging right now a little bit. So here's some cop-outs that don't really work. You can't say, you know what? I'm Irish. I'm angry. I like to fight. Da-da-da-da. That's just who I am, right? Or this is how my parents were. Or this is how I'm wired. Or this is how I was raised. He's saying, you know what? You are being transformed into the image of Christ. Here's the thing. He has deposited his character in you. He's invested. He's leveraged himself all for your benefit. So we're all on this journey of becoming more like Christ. So the Bible says that we are to put to death the old things. Not resist sin, but put to death sin. We're supposed to resist the devil, but put sin to death. So how in the world do we do that? How do we overcome evil desires? In the Greek word, it says to make dead, to literally put to death. And I think it's super critical that we put this distinction, that we are now free from sin, not free of sin. We're free from sin, but not of sin. So I'm going to dig into this a little bit more. So think about this. It's not about working harder. It's about submitting more to God and letting him to transform you. Because in the Bible, it says that we walk by faith and not by sight. It doesn't say that we walk by grit or hustle or holding on or just like our strength. So the picture is this. I don't know if you've ever been to a prison cell or a prison. I've been to two, and thankfully I was just a visitor. But immediately, you see that they're all business. It's not Chick-fil-A, it's not their pleasure, right? It's all business. I mean, there's a background check, there's all these things. I mean, I don't know if I was fingerprinted or eye scanned or whatever, but like, I'm just here to visit this guy, right? And I was very happy when I had the chance to leave. I don't know about you, but I've had sins that I've struggled with. And as much as I wanted to overcome them, as much as I thought I had the ability to resist them and be done with them, I was still trapped. It was like there was a stronghold that was hard to break. So what Jesus does is he says, you know what? I'm going to break that stronghold. I'm going to break you from the power of sin. It's sin that keeps us a slave. So we are a slave. We're a prisoner to our sin. And what Jesus does is he opens up the prison door. He opens up the prison door. He disarms all of the guards. You can walk in and you can walk out. But you can stay in the jail cell. You can stay clothed in your prison garbs. Have you ever seen that, by the way? Somebody who gets out of incarceration and they're just like hanging out in their old prison clothes. They're just like, these are kind of comfortable. You know, like these remind me of my good old days. You know, like we had such friendships. You never see that. They want to have nothing to do with that chapter of their life. But sometimes we forget what that sin cost us, and we go visit our old lifestyle, and we go back into the cell. Even though Jesus has freed us from it, it doesn't mean that we're absolutely perfect. No way. We're not absolutely perfect. It's a struggle. It's the battle. It's like the two forces of what my sin wants to do is an exact opposite of what the Spirit of God is leading me to do. So you're free from sin, the bondages of sin, but that doesn't mean that you're perfect. And so here's where Satan comes in. He is the accuser. Say accuser. He loves this. He wants to accuse you. He'll take any angle. So if you mess up in sin, he'll say, well, you're not doing it right. You didn't say the prayer right. Jesus is not helping you. You should be perfect. You should have put to death these sins. You should sin no more. That's not reality. If I have an eating disorder, I'm still going to have to eat something, right? So until we're made perfect, until we're out of sin, out of our fleshly desires, then we'll be free of sin. And that is the place that God designed us to live. Did you know that? That's our perfect habitat. That's the environment. When he was designing everything, he designed us to live in a place free of sin. So no wonder it's so hard. This is a struggle. But by God's Spirit, He will help us. So you can leave the prison cell. That stronghold is broken. Victory was paid. He paid the ultimate price so that we could have freedom. However, we are influenced a lot by our thoughts. So when the devil comes, he can suggest thoughts. And you guys want to do a pretend version of this? You guys want to do a little example? It's too bad. I already got the slide. You're already in it. You're already hooked. Okay, so try not to think of a pink donkey. All right? Now try not to think of a pink donkey while looking at this picture. It's kind of hard to think. You just automatically think of a pink donkey. What's a pink donkey? I have no idea. It popped in my head when I was making this image, when I was making this message. But we are influenced by our thoughts, by the things that pop up in our feeds and our social media and our news or whatever. So we have to be careful what we allow to pop in our thoughts. And also, we are very emotional. So, like, look at this graph. Sometimes this is kind of like our emotions, like our day is good, our coffee is good, and then, oh, we're up. And then we hit traffic, and then we're down. And then we get a promotion, and then our emotions are way up. And then we're a part of history, and it's 110 for like 80 days, and we're like, ugh. We have these constant emotions of up and down. Up and down. That's just the way of life. So feelings are based on the questions that we ask. And this is why I bring this up. This is an important thing for us to be fixed on God. It says, put your thoughts, set your sights on things above. Because the questions that you ask yourself will influence the thoughts that you have. And the thoughts you have determine your moods. And I am very cognizant that there is a wonderful medical community that you can go and they can help you with all the chemicals in your bodies and balance things out. I love that they're there, and I love the power of God that can heal mental disorders and challenges. But the fact is what we think about will determine our mood. And so if you fix your thoughts on things that aren't working, how hot it is, the things you don't like about your life, the things that everybody else has that you wish you did have, your mood and your physiology will actually shift and change. But when things hit you, when sickness hits you, when trauma hits you, when disaster hits you, you can say, praise God, I know that Jesus is going to get me through this. Plus, this is not my life. I'm just a visitor here. My real life is still to come. That's what I want to focus on. That's what I want to fix my thoughts on. So, man, I have to be in a place where I'm like, you know what? I'm thankful to live in America. I'm thankful for the four founders who established godly principles in our country. I'm thankful for those who serve in the military, our police, our first responders. I'm thankful that my sins are forgiven. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful that I walked in and the air condition worked. Like, praise God. Amen. I personally have to be careful on what I give my attention to. That's why I have to just check the news instead of watching hours of news. Because I haven't figured out a way to solve what's going on in the world. Like, I haven't figured that out. 2 Corinthians says it this way. It says, chapter 4, verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen. That's hard. That's hard. But what is unseen? Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And I want to follow God's instructions with this. I need God's Spirit to help me. And I'm thankful that life is more than just Monday through Friday. The grind of in and out, and then you retire, and then you die, and that's it. I don't want that to be the end of my existence. I want to invest in the life to come. I don't believe that earth is my home. I believe that my real life is still to come. So, have you ever thought of, like, in our culture, we plan for retirement. We plan for those things in that chapter of life. But have you ever planned for your eternal life? Have you ever thought, what do I need to invest? What does the Bible tell me to do there? Jesus tells it plainly in chapter 6 of Matthew. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasure on earth. He says, lay up for yourself treasure where? Where your real life, where the most important part of your existence will be. I'm so excited about that part of my life. Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. Yeah. There was a famous Christian leader. He died in year 407. And he said this. He said he was considered a beacon of faith. He says, we are only temporal guests on earth. We recognize that the houses in which we live serve only as hostels on the road to eternal life. We do not seek peace or security from the material walls around us or the roofs above our head. Rather, we want to surround ourselves with a wall of divine grace. We want to look upward to heaven as our roof, and the furniture of our lives should be good works performed in the spirit of love. That's why I remind you, be generous. Read the Bible. Follow the life of Jesus. You will not regret being kind, loving your neighbors, praying for somebody, or giving to the poor. I fully agree with this. I want to store up treasures in heaven. Verse 9 of Colossians, it says, don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all the wicked deeds. Put on your new nature, say new nature, and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Isaac, next week is Youth Sunday. He's going to be talking about putting on your new nature, but the idea here is that God strips off the old before He puts on the new. Have you ever tried to like paint a building and there's all that paint that's just like wood rot and like it's flaking and you're like, you know what? No big deal. I don't have to scrape that off. I'll just slap another coat right on top of it. Who's cut corners? Come on. I'm not the only one. You guys are in church. Thank you for somebody being honest. You're like, well, I'll try this, right? You just throw in another. But we know that doesn't work, right? Because the damage is inside. So God is a master. And He says, you know what? I love you so much that I have to strip this off. It's going to hurt. And so if you are feeling like the grind or the pressure or the stripping or the pruning of life is hitting your life, God might be preparing you for the new that's to come. He might be refining your character for the new that's to come. Your season will not be wasted. Your pain will not be wasted. He is with you, and He won't take it too deep. He's preparing you for something great. The last verse, verse 11, it says, in this new life, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in us. What a powerful verse, speaking of racism, because people, we judge each other on backgrounds, ethnicities, financial positions, but what does God judge on? First Samuel says, people look on the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. So we as Christians, we as Christ followers, we have no business in judging people by ways that they look or how they spend their money or how what they say, because God looks on the inside. God looks on the heart. And that's what He's refining. That's what He wants to make new. And so our job is just to trust and submit to the process and say, God, I need your help. I need your help to put sin to death. I need your help to make it through today. I'm struggling. I need your help to be made new in you. I want to pray and the band can come up. But right now in this space, as they sing this last song, I want you to say, God, what are you speaking to me? And he might encourage you. Say, keep going. My grace is sufficient. I know you're hurting. Or he might say, you know what? I have this area that I want to work on. I want you to say, God, what are you saying to me in this message? And whether you want to sit or stand, we're going to sing one last song. But this is your chance to have quiet time with God. This is your space this week. You need this time. Holy Spirit, it's only you that can help us become more like Christ. So we just say yes to whatever you want to do, however you want to shape us. And I pray for grace, supernatural grace, to those who are in the process of being stripped, who are being reformed, who are being pruned, God. Jesus, thank you for your love. Thank you that you see value in us enough to restore us, enough to shape us. May we live our lives setting our sights on the realities of heaven. In Jesus' name.